Gotta get into Jean-Luc mode.
No one wants to do that.
I know, it's a bad place to be.
I'm leaving this in.
Hello and welcome to the internet's one and only podcast about comic books. It is episode to the 276th. I am your host, Emily, and I am here, as always, with Chad and no one else, apparently.
Yeah, it's always a bad sign when you're the host because it means at least one person is gone, probably two, and in this case, it's two again.
I wouldn't say it's a bad sign.
Honestly, I really like our episodes together. I think we have a good rapport.
It's time for 30 more minutes of ponies.
Yeah!
Ma, 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 ma. Mob, 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 mob. Angry, angry mob.
I forgot the angry, angry part.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's what I did wrong there.
How are you, Chad?
I'm great. My brother turned 30 this week, and then also my aunt turned 70, and so we decided to do the combined birthday parties tonight.
Oh, fun!
So we went to a martini bar, where I had two. And then we went back to our house.
Wait,
where
did you have
four?
Did you have like any sort of special martini or?
Yeah. So we went to the Starlight, which is like this kind of big martini bar in La Crosse. Which if you guys come here, we are absolutely going there because that place fucking rules.
Hell yeah! It's I love a good martini.
Yeah. So I had a purple haze. I can't remember what's in there. It's definitely like a little fruitier with like a lime at the end. So it's like it's got like the sweet and then the more sour citrus. It's literally purple, hence the name.
Of course, you got the purple drink.
Yeah, I never have that, but like everyone else in my family was like, dude, you fucking have to try this. It is the best one here. And I was like, fine, it's a special occasion. I will not have my multiple apple teenies in a row. So I had that.
Last time I had a good martini, it was like pineapple, chipotle, basil. It was really weird, but it was really good.
What the fuck?
Seriously,
it was weird.
It was really like I also was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I got like a flight and that ended up being like the one that I liked the most.
Sure, sure. I enjoyed the purple haze. I like their apple teeny more.
Well, you can't go wrong with an apple teeny.
The only time I have like sweet alcohol anymore is if I have an apple teeny. Like otherwise it's sort of just like hard liquor on the rocks. When I hit my fist against my hand, it sounds vaguely like masturbation noises.
Oh dear.
So that was fun though. We had a good time. Then we went down because there's a restaurant underneath that has Cajun. But it's actually like halfway decent good Midwestern Cajun because I've had bad Midwestern Cajun. There's a restaurant in Iowa called Catfish Charlie's that the person who owns the factory I work at owns that restaurant.
There's also a place down here called Catfish Charlie's. I doubt that it is in any way related, but it's just very funny.
I bet yours has better food.
Oh, I mean, like, they have their own, like, catfish pond, like at the, like, it's on the same land as the restaurant, so yes.
Yeah, so the one in Iowa, surprise, surprise, is sort of like, hey, what if white people did Cajun food?
Unfortunately.
And it was, like, you know, like, kind of a beige color.
Technically, Cajun is normally like white people, and then it's Creole that is more like non-white people.
Oh, that's interesting. So Buzzard Billy's has like Creole stuff, like that's sort of their thing. And I just associate, like, they have Cajun Creole, like there's like a slash there, right? Like the division symbol.
People kind of conflate the two, and like especially if you're not in this area, you will hear them used interchangeably, but they do actually refer to like two different like communities of people.
Like, admittedly, Buzzard Billy's is probably like pretty white owned. I've never looked into it, but just like based on the name, that and just the demographic of La Crosse, Wisconsin is not exactly super diverse. So like just the way the numbers roll. But like whoever runs that restaurant actually likes spice, versus the one in Iowa is more of the, man, salt is really spicy, don't you know? Like that, it's more of that kind of restaurant. I don't
that
like that restaurant.
Kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep telling you got to come down here and visit so that Alice and I can show you like some good Cajun food.
I actually want to do that. I know we kind of mentioned that off the show, right? Because I was like, I have some vacation time saved up. You're like, oh, you should come here. And I was like, yeah, but I'd have to come to Mississippi.
Yeah, well, you know, nobody likes it here.
I know. Why would I go visit? I'd have to fly there. I'm not going to drive there.
Because we're here.
And that means, like, I'd have to either drive to, like, one of the Twin Cities or Chicago to get a decent flight, which I don't want to do.
Oh, almost and definitely. So,
like, the whole thing is just, like,
and
a
I
lot
would,
of work.
I would absolutely have you fly into New Orleans, which is a two-hour drive for me. But, like, the difference in flight, it's, like, astronomical, the difference between flying closer to here and then flying to New Orleans.
I wonder what the price of, can I get a flight from, like, across to New Orleans.
Let's find out on the air. This makes for good audio.
145 cheap flights from La Crosse to New Orleans. I mean, there's no way that's true. I don't believe that Expedia.
I was gonna say that's not bad, but you would also have to like see if that's true.
I haven't had to look up flights. Oh shit! I think I actually probably could do this like for $150 one way.
Hell yeah!
That's okay. That's actually a lot more doable than I thought it would be.
Rubs my gay little hands together. We will have Chad come visit.
One of these days, it's got to happen. I do agree. And like, I know there's good food down there. And obviously you and Alice, me and Alice could play Warhammer, but I'd have to use Cass's characters because I'm not going to bring mine. I don't have an army. But you know, like, there's lots
also,
of fun
to
be
had. Also, you don't
want
to have to travel with a bunch of miniatures. It's a liability issue.
Yeah, it really is. I have to insure them or something. Those fuckers are expensive.
Yeah, you don't want to trust TSA with your miniatures. You don't have to. Well, I had a pretty good day. But earlier this week, I did my very first Twitch stream. And I streamed some of Deltarune.
Yeah!
It was fun! I streamed for like 2 hours, and I think we had like a maximum of like 6 people in there. But you know what? It was a good time. It was
nice.
The charity stream that we did for Alice and Cass, I set like a goal that if we hit this goal, then I would stream the first 2 chapters of Deltarune, which is what's available right now. And it'll probably take me like 4 streams to get through all of it, because the first 2 chapters are not too particularly long. I feel like I'm over at least halfway, if not over, through the first chapter from just the first stream. But yeah, good time.
Nice.
I had to use Gwen's computer to stream because my laptop literally does not have the like computer power to do a stream. But I was able to set up like a little be right back screen in OBS and everything. And so, yeah, it was fun. Jean-Luc showed up for, like, 5 minutes right at the end.
Oh, wow.
Just to pop in and say hi.
Cool.
Yeah.
You still enjoy the Deltarune?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've played Chapter 1 twice and Chapter 2 once. Because I played Chapter 1 through, and then Chapter 2 came out, and I thought it was going to be a while before Chapter 2 came out on Switch, which is where I played Chapter 1 originally. So I was like, okay, well, since it's free, I'll just, like, get it on PC and then play through Chapter 1 again so I have that progress in there, and then play through Chapter 2. And then, like, literally the day after I beat Chapter 2, they announced Chapter 2 on Switch.
That seems to be how it goes with those sort of things, huh?
Yeah. But you know what? I'm excited for the rest of the game whenever the fuck it happens. It's going to be like 5 chapters.
Okay. And they're not the first game to release in chapters. I remember you talked about this, I think, last week. And then I was like, oh, cool. This is the part where I can tune things out and just like scroll through Twitter.
I don't know if I've definitely talked about it before. I don't think it was last week, but
is this the same people that did
Undertale? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this isn't a sequel to Undertale so much as it is like a companion game. Like there are characters in Deltarune that like there are characters from Undertale that are in Deltarune, but they aren't the exact same as they were in Undertale. Like it's a different universe, but with some of the same characters, and it's kind of like remixing some stuff from Undertale into like a new story, and I think it's pretty neat.
Cool.
Yeah. It's Undertale was made by like one dude, and then upon starting Deltarune, he decided not to try and do it all on his own this time, which honestly has made it a much better game. Like the art throughout the whole game, even though it's still like that sort of simple pixel style, is just like, on the whole, like all of the sprites look way better because he has like other artists working with him and is not just designing them all on his own. And
oh, sure.
Yeah, it's just like one of the best things about Undertale is the music, and like Deltarune also has like really fucking banger music. I get it stuck in my head all the time because it's just so good.
Nice.
And one of these days I'll get you to play Undertale and then Deltarune.
Yeah, it was funny. I think I mentioned this earlier, but I was like, I'm not gonna play fucking Undertale. And I was like, Joe, can you believe Emily wants me to play Undertale? And he's like, I think the game's like 3 hours long, dude.
I think it's a little longer than that, but it's really not a long game.
Yeah, and I was like, don't tell me that. And I'm like kind of obligated to play it. I can like carve out 3 or 4 hours. That's the problem, is I probably will. And I have so much of this weird shit that winds up being on brand for me. And it's like, what if I don't like the brand I'm building? Maybe I want to build a cooler brand, one that's like less furry.
Chad, you've had like 30 plus years to build a better brand.
Okay, but for 15 of those, that doesn't count because I was 1 to 15.
You've had 15 years to build a better brand.
Okay, I guess that doesn't still sound very good when you put it that way.
I also, I know that I've already talked about Dune. I'm going to talk about Dune a little bit again. I, after having watched the movie, decided to take another crack at the audiobook and have actually found it to be a much easier experience this time. Dune has a lot of, like, you know, like, sci-fi jargon, like,
yeah,
like, just, like, words that mean things, and then Dune sort of just, like, throws you in and, like, expects you to pick things up along the way, and it's really not that hard, but it can be a little overwhelming, and having watched the movie, I have, like, a bit of, like, just having context for certain things and being able to, like, sort of see what the scenes kind of look like in the movie and having that in my brain when things are happening in the book. Because, like, you know, because it's the book, it's a little more intensive, so there's a little more going on. And it's just easier to keep up, I have found, this time. And I'm actually, I only got, like, maybe an hour and a half through the audiobook the first time, and I now am, let's see, no, don't start playing. I'm like 6 hours into the book now.
Oh, nice.
Out of 14. Hope you finish it. So yeah.
I mean, at that point, you might as well. You're pretty far in.
Yeah, I'm at least gonna try to get through, because the movie that just came out only covers, like, Dune the book is separated into two books. Like, there's the first part and then there's like a cut and it's like book two or whatever, but it's like still in the same book. And the movie only covers up to where that second book starts. So I'm sure gonna at least try to finish the first half and then go from there.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
My one of the people I was hanging out with tonight, my neighbor that I play ping pong with, Stan, he's really big into sci-fi, and it turns out, like, him and some people went and saw the movie, and he's like the only one that read the book, so he had more fun with the movie, I think, than everybody else, who's maybe a little confused, because
yeah,
I guess the movie doesn't hold your hand super well.
It really does not, but I also don't think it's very hard to follow either. You just kind of have to be willing to let it, like, take you where it's going.
Sure. He likes the book, though. He's one of those people where he's like, I've heard the rest aren't great, and I've also heard they're really good, and I don't know what to do.
I've heard that if you're gonna read Dune, you should only really read, like, Dune, and then Dune Messiah, which is the next one, and then, like,
yeah,
you're good to just read the Wikipedia articles for the rest.
But, according to him, the first one is for sure worth reading, and so I do want to read it at some point.
I honestly think that you would like it.
Yeah, because I read the Foundation books for the first time this year, which are, like, also really early sci-fi, the Isaac Asimov ones.
Yeah. And didn't they make a TV show?
Yes, that's ongoing. I've not seen a thing of it. I have no idea what the adaptation is like. As books, they're very much like idea books. Like the sci-fi is like more important than the characters and the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Not typically what I want out of a story, but I really appreciate kind of what they do as far as like early science fiction is concerned. Like they're like the Lord of the Rings of science fiction, right? Like they really influenced everybody going forward. And so to like go back and in time and read those and like really see where the genre got some of its major roots is cool. And I think Dune is like really a part of that. And so I want to experience it just kind of for the history lesson.
I genuinely, while I was reading it, I was like, I feel like Chad could get into this. Yeah,
I am like,
speaking of foundation, you know, Asimov may have been a sex pest, but boy, could that dude write.
Wait, was he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he, like, all you have to do is a cursory Google search, and that guy, like, used to get into trouble for, like, groping people at, like, sci-fi conventions and shit, like, kind of a sex pest.
That's really frustrating. Like, dude cannot write women. I don't think he knows a thing about them.
Yeah, and, you know, it's always the ones that can't.
I will say, the third book, there is a lady in the third book that's, like, moderately okay written in comparison to the other women in his book. Are like, hey, you fucking figured it out, kind of. Like, you're almost
not as bad as you could have done.
Not as bad as you could have done. There's your box quote. I have not read the rest. I've read the first three Foundation books and then stopped. I might read the next three, but I'm not like itching to. I got a lot out of the first two, and then the third one was fun. Like, there's really cool things, but yeah, I don't. I'm hoping Dune is better, and based on what I've heard, I think it probably will be.
I've been enjoying it. I don't read a lot of, like, old sci-fi. Well, that's not true. I had, like, a big Philip K. Dick phase when I was in college, so I read, like, a whole bunch of those. But other than that, I have not done a lot of, like, the quote-unquote classic sci-fi.
Sure. I've been reading what you might call... Yeah, what you call classic fantasy, which is not what that actually is. You'd be dumb if you called it classic fantasy, but Dragonlance.
I'd never heard of these until you started talking about it.
Really? So they're kind of like because they're like very like Dungeons and Dragons. Like Dragonlance is, I think, at one point its own form of tabletop game. Like they were made to be a tabletop game. And actually, like, if you read the first three books by Weiss and Hickman, like, they were basically like, here's our D&D campaigns that we added twists and turns to make it, like, not quite D&D, but they have different rules. We're just going to turn those into books. And you read them, you're like, yeah, you fucking did it. This reads like someone's shitty D&D campaign.
Everybody thinks their D&D campaign would make the best comic book.
Oh, the problem is I think that, too. The wannabe Cameron, Joe, and all the motherfuckers did. I'm not immune. I've been reading the Gene Rabe books, which came quite a bit later, and I think the thesis of these was sort of like D&D changes, right? Like there's version 1, version 2, version 3, and like they introduced new world stuff. And so whatever Gene Rabe was doing was like, hey, what if like magic stopped working, but dragons, like giant dragons, took over? They had their own magic that they brought from like a different magic world, and they started, you know, fucking with stuff. And like if you play in this campaign, like the rules are different.
Mm-hmm.
And the first three books that Gene Rabe did are honestly, I don't want to call them like great because they're not, but they're good. Like they're really fun fantasy books. There's a really cool stuff in them. The main characters, the cast is like fairly diverse for fantasy at the time. A couple of the people are like people of color. There's like characters with disabilities that they have to work around. The world building is fairly well done. Like, there's a lot of neat stuff in there as far as high fantasy goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I read those three, I had fun, and I was like, okay, time to move on to the next three, where they focus less on the group and more on a certain character. And that was her, what if we made these darker and edgier? The kids like that, right?
I mean, technically, yes.
Technically, yes. And on it, when I was in high school, fuck yeah, I loved these books. They were amazing. 32-year-old Chad... little less impressed with the darker and edgier version of these books.
As a former teen Chuck Palahniuk fanatic who has since gone back and reread some of his books, I relate.
Yeah. It sucks too because I feel like in order to make everybody darker and edgier and like to do the story she's doing, she had to like take the idiot stick and just slap him over the head a few times. Because they don't seem as smart. It's like, hey, you're cursed with this magic, like, curse and it's killing you and you don't know what it is and you're trying to find a cure. That makes sense. You were literally friends with the strongest mages in the world a book ago. Go back to them. You know, like you have options and you're like, no, I gotta find all the, I gotta like steal some money, some gems and stuff so I can pay this like healer I don't know anything about to maybe fix me. And also the dragons are bad and I'm teamed up with all of the villains who are also stealing things and I'm having sex with the hot half elf and she gets really mad if you call her an elf because she's a half elf. And it's like, man, what did you do? I'm so mad. And some of the fantasy stuff, though, like the little bits and pieces in between is like good. Like there's still like really good stuff in here. And it's like, okay, well, I own these. I'm not going to get rid of them. Like I might as well keep reading. And there's like glimmers of good ideas and good character moments and good dialogue. And then a lot of it is just washed out. And I put this on the list to bitch about when the characters I really liked from the first three books who show up in the fourth book for kind of no reason. And then they're in the first chapter of the second book. And then they're in the final chapter of the second book when they die for bullshit reasons. And I was like, I can't believe you fucked over these characters this hard. Like, I got no like emotional impact other than you're a shitty writer. And these were written so long ago that Jean Grey doesn't care anymore.
No.
Like, you know? I'm just like retroactively mad as an adult who can just like see where the puzzle pieces are and how they don't fucking fit together.
It's unfortunate to revisit something that you loved and be able to see all the cracks.
Brian Jax has never fucked me over this way.
Well, yeah. I mean, the little mouse books can't go wrong.
I know.
I say that not having read any, but I will watch the Netflix series.
You should read one of them. I don't even care which one. Don't read the first one. Read any of the other ones.
I was going to say, I think I have the first one somewhere.
The first one gets retconned because he establishes rules and world building stuff that he realizes he doesn't want to do as he turns these into like a 30 book series.
It'd be like that.
It does. You really only need to read one to understand like his plot structure.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Jax, for all of the things I love about him, does have flaws as a human being.
Don't we all?
But I do really like what he does. I still enjoy him.
Chad, you want to tell me about El Chapulín Colorado?
Yeah. Oh my God. So this is a random thing that happened last night after me and Cameron got done recording Opinions of Cheap, and he's like, "Hey Chad, have you seen the new Fortnite skin?" And I was like, "Fuck no, I don't play Fortnite." He sends it to me, and it looks like a cockroach, a man dressed as a cockroach with a giant red mallet. I was like, Cameron, what is this? He's like, oh, that's the red locust. And I was like, okay, that does not answer my question. And so he's like, oh, it's based on this old Mexican superhero called the Red Locust, or El Chapulín Colorado, which I am mispronouncing because I don't speak Spanish. And it was a comedy show. And we ended up watching an episode of it. And I would say the Red Locust is like if you crossed Adam West Batman with the Three Stooges.
That kind of sounds fun.
It was really fun.
Chapulín. Chapulín, so Colorado.
He sent this to me thinking we would watch like 40 seconds of it and then I would be done and we'd move on to something else. We wound up watching the entire episode.
How long was the episode?
Like 28 minutes or 25 minutes or whatever.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it was really, really funny. And it's like that old kind of slapstick physical comedy you don't see a lot anymore, mixed with like really weird superhero stuff. Like, because the Red Locust doesn't actually have like major superpowers other than plot armor. Like, he shows up to save the day, but he's an idiot and he's not very strong and he's kind of a coward. But he's able to accidentally fall into the villain and knock him over kind of thing. And it was really fun. Like, I legitimately had a great time watching that. And I was like, I wish Marvel or DC would do that. And he fucking sends me a goddamn comic panel from an actual Marvel comic within the last, like, 3 years with this fucker in it. The Red Locust and it's Marvel Champions. I think it's 2017 and 2019. It's a lady version of this character, so not the one in the TV show, but like similar zero superhero powers, but shitty at being a superhero. Shows up as like a sidekick to a couple episodes of Marvel Champions. And so we skipped through some of that. And like, I had like such a good time with this. So I do recommend like everybody go Google El Chapulín Colorado or The Red Locust. And like, you're going to have to watch it subbed in Spanish. It is really funny. It is a good show.
Well, how about that? You found a
I want to watch more of it, honestly.
It sounds kind of fun.
Like the sound effects are so fun. Like, he's hitting this dude with his mallet, and it's just making, like, these boing, boing sound effects, and the guy's just stone-faced, not getting hurt at all. And, like, I doubt he's actually being hit with this, like, rubber, like, toy. But the way the camera shot up and the way it's, like, bouncing, right? Like, it's just, it has that level of physical comedy that, like, it's like, oh, yeah, this is exactly like Three Stooges, the way people are knocking into each other or falling over or, like, breaking through walls or furniture, and everything is like made out of plywood. It's so charming, and like legitimately, like the facial expressions, like the people will like say something stupid and they just look at the camera and like can you believe that was just said, you know, like kind of breaking the fourth wall. Like, it's a good time.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I had a blast.
Did you want to talk about Dr. Sleep before we move into comics?
Sure. I had off yesterday. I took a vacation day because I was sick of work, and oh, yeah. Hung out with my dad. We rented Dr. Sleep from Redbox, and that's a good movie.
That's what I've heard.
I enjoyed watching that. I've read the book, or I listened to it on audiobook, and it's, I want to say, an 18 to 19 hour audiobook, so like a decent sized book. And the book is too long. Like, there's a lot of like kind of things that don't need to be there, and so the movie like really slims it down. Adjust some timeline stuff a little bit, removes a lot of unnecessary stuff, and is like the definitive version of the story, I think. Like, it's a really good kind of thriller movie with some vague horror elements. Not a lot. If you've seen like Kubrick's The Shining, they redo some scenes from that, and they're like shot for shot.
Yeah, that's why I heard that those were pretty impressive.
I was impressed, and I'm not a huge fan of Kubrick's Shining, but like seeing them there, also the floor pattern, definitely
from Yuri Kuma.
I was on the lookout, and it was there, and I was like, fuck, you did, and you were right. it's a really good kind of fun thriller movie about, you know, characters with a certain level of psychic powers versus psychic vampires who want to like eat the psychic powers. Like, It's not a complicated movie. It's really well shot, though. There's actually some really impressive cinematography, like the way the main bad character is filmed. Like, she's always like the center of every shot. Like, There's a lot of deliberate like cinematography in there. I think the actors do a good job. Like I said, the script is like trimmed down to be a really lean version of the story that works really well. I had a lot of fun. My dad really enjoyed it. It's still like a 2.5, almost 3 hour movie. Like, it's not
short. It's a long one.
But I think it went by really fast. Like, it's paced well. I had a really good time. I definitely recommend that movie.
I know you're a big Stephen King guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I never ended up seeing it, just like because I just didn't get around to it. But I have heard that it's very good, so I should probably check it out at some point.
It was one of those things, like, we're at the Redbox, and there's like a handful of movies that we're looking at. And I'm like, okay, well, I know Joe wants to see some of these, so let's wait for him to not be at work. So we'll get this one. But I'm hoping, like, over the next couple weeks to watch a bunch of movies.
I was going to suggest that you get Green Knight, but I knew that if you watched it and then John wasn't here this week, he probably would have been sad.
Oh, well, that's one Joe wants to see, because he likes A24 as well. Mm-hmm. Like, so, we almost got the first Halloween movie, because I know that's a classic, and I've never seen that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also, I guess that's free on Roku right now, so we might try and watch that tomorrow morning.
Yeah!
Which is, like, a great movie to watch before you go grocery shopping, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you know, why not? It'll be Halloween.
That's true. I want to see the dude kill a bunch of teenagers, and I want to go get Pop Tarts.
That's what slasher movies are all about.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get into some comics, Chad?
But 2 minutes. I want to run through some new music that came out.
Yeah. Go for it.
So apparently, okay, Friday is when all the music comes out, and like this Friday was a fucking banner year at the Music House.
Oh, really?
So I listened to 3 new albums on Friday. First one, New Arc Spire. They're a technical death metal band, and their shtick is like, we're really fast, which is impressive, but not that interesting, like over the course of an album. Their new one, Bleed the Future, they add a lot of like melodic stuff, but in the middle of songs, like hooks and downtime. And there's like this balance they end up hitting between like crazy yo-yo tricks and like actual good music that I really, really like. Like, it's a 30-minute album. It is fucking crazy. But there's enough like downtime for it to be like, oh, also this is just like legitimately like good music. If you're into that kind of thing, like the really brutal fast stuff, it's fantastic. Like I went into this thinking I would not like it, and I came away going, I really need to buy this. It's good. The next one, Ad Infinitum or Infinitum. They're a power metal band with like some orchestral stuff, kind of like Nightwish. A little more power metal, a little less orchestral. They put out a new one. Their singer is fantastic. The new album, a lot of fun. She's great. She screams on a couple songs. She has got a really impressive false chord. Not a lot to say about it other than like it's a really good kind of example of the genre that does a few things a little differently to set it apart. I had fun with it. The third one I listened to today, the new Whitechapel album, which is called, I want to say Kin. And that might be their best work. I'm not like super familiar with their discography, but like this album is really, really good. It's super emotional because I guess like both his parents have died, and he's like, you know what I'm going to do is write like two really like sad, tragic albums about how I'm like not dealing well with the death of my parents.
Oh, you know, that's one way to cope.
And it is like extremely powerful music. He's also, as far as deathcore goes, like he's got like some of the best low mids in the game. You can understand what he's saying. So like, he's like, oh no, I'm telling a story and you can hear me and understand me. And guess what? It's a sad story. He also sings quite a bit on this album. He's got a really good singing voice. It's a lot of things done really well that the genre he's in does not normally do. So it stands out there. And then just like, it's really just impressive music. So I would say, even if you don't like that genre of music, I would almost recommend that album just because like there's a lot of emotion in it. It just the way the songs are written, the way the guitar and the drums are composed. If you don't like that kind of style of singing, you can like kind of ignore it and listen to everything else and still get something out of it.
Neat. I have heard of Whitechapel before.
They've been around a really long time. I want to say they've been around like 12 or more years as far as like in the genre goes.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember having heard of them when I was in, like, high school, so, like, mm-hmm. That tracks.
It's kind of crazy. I went back and listened to their first album, not the whole thing, just, like, the first song or two, back when they were kind of, like, a scene band, like, really young, and they were singing songs about, like, hey, we're Jack the Ripper killing strippers, and,
Oh, the edge.
Yeah, like, the evolution is pretty crazy. At the same time, the early stuff's actually, like, pretty good as far as, like, old beatdown deathcore goes. Like, there's, like, really good breakdowns. His, like, lows have always been really good. He's just refined them a lot over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But their new stuff is, like, definitely way better. Just musically, it's way more diverse. It's way more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And I guess we can talk about comic books since we're the only comic book podcast we're probably obligated to.
Yeah, I mean, who else is gonna do it? Nobody.
Fucking no one.
And maybe they shouldn't.
Exactly.
I want to say at the top here, I wanted to read The All-Nighter, which is a book. It's a new Chip Zdarsky book about, like, a vampire who, like, decides that he's bored with being a vampire and he wants to go be, like, a, like, kick-ass style vigilante superhero, which was a premise that was too incredible for me to pass up, but because it's a Comixology original, it was not on Cursed site, and I just didn't get around to, like, paying for it to read it. But the first two issues came out this week, and I may try to get around to reading them, because I like Chip Zdarsky, and I like the idea of a vampire deciding he wants to become a superhero.
That's interesting because I was looking for this and I couldn't find it either.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that Chip Zdarsky is like big enough where someone would be like, oh, I guess I'll like rip the scans off of Comixology to put on the Curse site.
Yeah, I don't know. And The Stoned Master was a Kickstarter funded book from, what's that guy's name? Aubrey something. Aubrey Sitterson, who did two other books that I have not liked in the past, but I was going to try and give this a shot, even though it was a 32-page issue. But I also couldn't find that anywhere. I wasn't even sure, like, where I would pick it up outside of, like, I don't know, more traditional comic buying. So, nope, that didn't happen either. I probably would not have made it very far, so I'm kind of glad I didn't try to, like, pay for it, but...
Yeah, I couldn't find that one either.
No big loss.
I really want to know what you thought of Sweet Paprika, which I'm guessing you're still reading.
You know, Chad, I feel like everyone on this podcast gets one book that they keep reading even though they don't know why, and...
Never been there, don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I feel like Sweet Paprika is just the one that chose me. And, you know, like, it's still, like, I don't hate it is the thing. Like, I don't think it's that good. And, like, it is just extremely horny, like, all the time. But, I mean, that's the type of book it is. Like, it makes no, It's not trying to pretend to be anything other than this, like, erotic comedy thing. But, you know, I'm still reading it, and it's all right. I said, like, I guess I don't know what my barometer for all right is, because that kind of covers a lot. But, like, the main character, like, if you remember from the issue that you did read, like, her whole big thing is, like, she's super horny, but also super repressed, and you find out that it's, like, because her dad, like, gave her all of this, like, psychological trauma about, like, possibly turning into a slut or whatever, and then, like, she ends up finding out that, like, oh, her dad is actually really into, like, weird, like, kinky sex and cocaine parties, and that's how he ended up having the heart attack recently that he's been in the hospital for. And, like, so she's having to deal with this, like, she's having to deal with finding out that her dad is this big hypocrite who spent his entire life, like, shitting on, like, or, like, drilling into her that she shouldn't be a certain way, and it turns out that he was actually that way himself, and then, like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, and now, like, she's got this crush on, like, this big, like, demon boss guy from, like, another company who's, like, super important, and he seems to be into her, too, but, like, she has all these weird hang-ups about sex because of, like, her dad and shit, so, like, now she is entering into a strictly physical... She says relationship with the, like, himbo angel guy from the first issue. And
oh, she finally gets a, has she had a successful wank yet?
I mean, she's jacked off, but, like, this is gonna be the first time that she actually has, like, probably a successful, like, sexual encounter with another person.
I know in the first issue, that was the thing, right? She was, like, getting ready to really just have a good time with herself, and then, like, mm-hmm. all of a sudden her parents showed up in her psyche and stopped, yeah. And then she got a phone call,
well,
and it was, like, her
still,
mother.
That still kind of happens, is every time that she's, like, having this, like, big elaborate fantasy, she also, like, it mentally gets interrupted by, like, this image of her dad, but more and more she's, like, able to kind of, like, especially now that she knows that her dad's a big hypocrite, she's able to kind of tell him to, like, piss off. And there's, like, a really funny scene where she, like, is having an elaborate sex fantasy while she's in the changing room of, like, a department store. And then,
oh,
like,
dear.
She walks out and realizes that, like, some random guy has, like, overheard, and, like, she ends up trying to hook up with him, and then, like, he's kind of a dick and she's not into it, so, like, she ends up telling him to buzz off, and now she's gonna try and do this physical only relationship with the angel dude, and so that's where the next issue is gonna go, I guess.
Good luck to her. I don't know what this story is trying to accomplish,
and I don't either, but, you know, like, shrug.
Yeah,
I think it would be something that you might find, like, a funny read if you were, like, to check it out in like trade form or something. I mean, not buy it, because I don't think you want to own this, but
no.
Like, if you just happen to check it out after it's already like finished, whatever the arc, I don't even know how many issues this is supposed to be, but yeah, it's just sort of you know, it's fine. I still like the art, and I think that's probably one of the biggest things that keeps me like interested, is I like all the character designs, and I like this weird angel devil world that they inexplicably exist in, even though it barely has anything to do with anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been, like, Mirko Gandolfo has either really amazing art or really amazing ideas, like worlds and stuff. Like, there's always a hook to her stories, mm-hmm. and I'm waiting for the one that really, like, sticks it all the way through, because I swear to God she can do it. I believe in her so hard.
I think she just really needs to find a good collaborator to work with.
Yeah.
Because I think part of the problem is that, like, all of these books seem to be, like, her books, like, where she's, like, both doing, like, art and story, and I think maybe she could use some, like, tempering by someone else's ideas.
I feel like the same can be said for the dude writing Vinyl. Fuck is this guy's name?
Yeah, I keep reading Vinyl, and I don't know why.
Doug Wagner. I want to like this comic, and they're, like, if I, like, explain this book to a stranger, I feel like I would upsell it, because there's, like, fun shit in here, and I would want to talk about that. But then there's also a lot of pages between the fun shit.
It just, still, I feel like I don't really get it.
Yeah, I get this. It's, like, it's supposed to be a dark comedy, I think.
Yeah.
But it's not very funny, and none of the characters are believable in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of this.
Yeah, me either.
I keep reading this, and like you said, I kind of don't know why, other than like I'm this far in and I'm guessing it's going to be done in 6 issues. I think this probably only needed to be 4.
Yeah, how many issues characters is this supposed to be, you said?
I want to say 6, because most of his stuff is 6.
Okay, yeah. I kind of hope it's only 6.
Like, I feel like they want us to care about, like, all these characters that suck and don't have, like, any actual redeeming qualities or page time.
Like, nothing about any of this has endeared me to any of them.
No. I bet I would have liked this if I was 12.
I feel like Vinyl is almost the perfect book for an edgy 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Because when you're 15, you're used to not understanding what's going on. So, like, if you were to jump into this book, you'd be like, well, I guess the things that I don't understand, I'll, like, either figure it out or, like, you know, whatever. Like, I remember reading a lot of things when I was a teen, and just, like, parts of it would kind of, like, go over me, and I wouldn't even realize that I had missed anything.
Yeah. Just kind of roll with it. Go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've been having a really good time, so we should probably fight, because DC vs. Vampires came out.
I didn't think you were gonna read this one, especially when I tweeted out the screen cap from it, this morning. I thought that this book was kind of, like, stupid fun. I don't know, like, I didn't think it was, like, good, but, like, I thought it was funny.
See, and that was the thing, is, like, I thought it was stupid. And I get, like, I think the idea of it is fun. I just don't think the execution was at all. Like, it's so expository and kind of dour in the way that most DC, like, event comics are. And it sucks because it's like, hey, what if half the Justice League accidentally became vampires and wanted to take over the world? Like, that's a fucking good hook.
I really liked the reveal that Hal Jordan was a vampire.
I know, and he fucking kills, one of the Wonder Twins by making a giant blender and
yes,
then drinking
okay,
the blood.
Yes, Chad, how can you hate this book? He made a giant Green Lantern light blender and blended a man in it. Like, and it was one of the Wonder Twins. How could you not love this book? I feel like that's just like pure distilled essence of comedy.
Well, and that's the problem, is like nothing else up until that point was like that level of funny. It was so on the nose, and like, did you know there's a queen of vampires and she got murdered and I'm trying to find the murder and everyone's after me and Superman is gone, oh no.
That that's fair. Like, I will admit, that was definitely the high point of the book, and everything else was just sort of, like, trying to get back to that. But, I don't know, like, I just thought it was kind of a funny, wacky book, and I'm interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, like, I wish it had, like, had that level of comedy from basically start to finish, or even just, like, one other joke like it. So you're like, oh, I see, this is what we're doing. Because that, like you said, that was a great moment. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe we just did this. Like, it felt, it came so out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we just spent like 18 pages to build up to a punchline in the 19th page, which honestly, that's super ballsy. I appreciate that. I hope the next issue continues that tone, because if it does, I'm on board.
You know what else sucked?
What?
Batman Fortnite.
I did not read that.
I didn't either. I tried. I started it and I was like, oh my God, this is so like mind-numbingly boring. And so I just sort of skimmed it because I was hoping to read this because I thought the idea was funny and I wanted to see Batman in Fortnite world. And that mostly didn't happen until the very end, where there's a sequence of the Batman who laughs getting somehow, I wasn't actually reading, I was just skimming, so I don't know how he ends up in Fortnite world, but Batman who laughs ends up in Fortnite world, and you see him, like, fight a bunch of, like, Fortnite, like, players or, like, characters or something. I don't know how this works, but that part was funny, but the rest of the book fucking sucks. And apparently, like, there was another Batman Fortnite thing that happened that this was like a sequel to, and that's also why it sucked, is because I was reading like the follow-up to something I had also not read. But it also just sucked in general.
Sure. I hope he watches out for the Red Locust, because that guy's in Fortnite now and he's got plot armor, so.
But the image of the Batman who laughs in like bright Fortnite world up against like a bunch of Fortnite characters, 10 out of 10, very funny. But
that is funny.
Everything else fucking sucks.
There's a couple more. We're getting close to being done. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Harley Quinn number 8 being fairly emotional, so let's do that instead of the good comics.
Well, yeah, I mean, did you read it?
No, I dropped off when the artist changed, and I was like, I have an excuse to stop reading this. I don't care. I don't need to read Harley Quinn.
The bad art was only there for, like, two issues? One issue? It was not even that long.
You know, appealing to my interests is a very difficult thing to do, unless, I guess, you're, like, a gay furry.
Yeah, I actually really liked this issue. Part of the thing is, like, they're trying to find Poison Ivy because she's been, like, kidnapped by Hugo Strange or whatever the fuck this guy's name is, and who, by the way, is dressed up as Batman and running around pretending like he's, like, evil Batman or something. And the thing I posted on Twitter that was a little emotional scene was, you get this, like, this issue mostly focuses on, what is his name, Kevin, the henchman guy? I think it's Kevin.
Yeah.
And, like, he has this, like, inner monologue at the beginning about how, like, he's always felt, like, at war with his body, and so, like, one of the reasons that, like, he got the big Joker smile tattoo is because, like, if people are looking at the weird tattoo, they're not, like, looking at the rest of you that you hate, even though the tattoo symbolizes that you were, like, the henchman of this crazy clown man. And,
damn,
you know, that, like, that little...
Fucking, like, deep and dark.
Yeah,
holy,
like,
shit.
And that's, like, the beginning of the book, and I was like, damn, it's, like, 7:30. Like, I didn't sign up for this.
Okay, if I skip the other issues and just read this one, am I gonna be okay?
Literally, if you just read the issue right before this, which also has the good art again, like, you'll be fine. You don't.
God
really
damn it, I'm gonna be back on Harley Quinn. What kind of fucked up world do we live in?
But honestly, yeah, and, like, they're trying to find, they're trying to find Poison Ivy, and, like, this book has started leaning more and more into, like, the Harley and Ivy thing, and they, like, find, like, a seed of Poison Ivy or something. I don't really know how it works, but they're able to, like, kind of grow, like, a like a poison ivy clone to like help them find the like real poison ivy or something. I don't know. But like, this book has been pretty much fun for the most part, except when it had like two issues of art that we didn't like. And it was one of the first comics I read this morning, and it was honestly like, other than making me very sad in the beginning, it's been kind of a joy. So nice. I would recommend trying to get back on it, because, you know, like, I think it's easily the best solo Harley comic I have read, probably, because most solo Harley comics suck ass.
Yeah, but also, like, I really liked it before the art change, and so I will try and read 7 and 8. Like, you're really selling me on this, and
I went back and reread 7 just because there were some stuff that I couldn't kind of remember when I started issue 8, and, like, issue 7's real good, so.
Cool. God damn it, we're gonna have a Harley Quinn as a runner for top 10 this year. What the fuck happened to 2021?
What about Made in Korea?
Made in Korea was good. I read this like 2 weeks ago now. I'm trying to remember what fucking happened.
It wasn't 2 weeks ago. It was only whatever. Like a week.
Oh yeah, she got taken back to actual Korea and is like, oh man, this shit sucks because everyone thinks I'm a replicant, which I am, but I'm a replicant with like emotions.
Feelings.
And also, maybe I just want to be a boy replicant instead of a girl replicant. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, we're getting some gender vibes here that I'm not sure if the I don't know how far the comic is going to take this.
I don't either.
Because she wants to like grow and like change her body and like it's kind of cool. It's kind of compelling.
I'm definitely on board because like all the issues have been really good. And I cannot predict what this comic is going to do. Like that's been like the running theme of like, I have no fucking idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going wherever it wants and it's doing a really good job. And hell yeah. Like,
oh, and she's also
story,
like kind of got some PTSD from like those guys trying to use her for a school shooting. She has like a scene where she kind of has like an attitude. Yeah.
She also like cop to basically go fuck off.
Yeah, it was really good.
And it's like, goddamn, this comic is doing, like, a ton of shit in, like, 20 pages and doing all of it really well.
Yeah, I have been enjoying this one toe-to-tip. Like, I've not been disappointed by an issue yet. I think it's going to be, like, how many issues do we know?
I do not.
Okay. For some reason, I thought that maybe there was a listing for it, but, I mean, there might be. We're just not going to fact-check it.
Hell yeah, I'm down for that. Real quick, what did you think of That Texas Blood?
I thought it was alright. I, like, this arc of That Texas Blood, I don't 100% know if I find it as, like, compelling as the first one. Like, it's definitely doing this, like, what was that show with...
True Detective.
Yeah, it's definitely doing the True Detective thing, and, like, I think that's fine. And I know, you know, I think some of it, it suffers just from comparison, because I'm like, man, how did we get here from, like, the relatively normal story of the first arc that was just sort of about, like, community trauma and not witchcraft?
Yeah, I feel like this one, like, I've really enjoyed this arc up and kind of until this issue where I feel like it pushed itself over the edge of like believability.
Mm-hmm.
Like the characters are all just a little too stupid to advance the plot. The plot's gotten kind of off the rails. There's a lot of like really bad monologuing, and I kind of get that that's the point because like the cult leader is a bad monologuer, but also I still have to read it, and like as a reader I don't fucking want to.
Yeah. Like I'm gonna keep with it because I do enjoy this book, and I'm interested to see where this goes, but, like, yeah, I don't know, I don't, like, have the enthusiasm I did for the first story, so,
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
We're at 59 minutes, we can do one more if you want, or we can sign off.
Well, I will say I did try to read Adventure Man number 6, but it's been so long, and I don't think I read Adventure Man number 5, and I don't know, it's kind of a shame because I really liked this book and I liked the art, but I will have to, like, invest in remembering what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, there's a certain level of, like, maybe for, like, the end of the year show, I might try to read, like, the trade or whatever, or go back on the curse site and read them all again. But then, that's asking a lot when I can remember better comics. the comic book, very cutthroat podcast this is. But I didn't try to read number 6 because I definitely don't remember it. I
know that you dropped off of Adventure Man even before, like, we did.
Which sucks, because the first couple were really good, and then it kind of lost me, and it just sort of, then the hiatus happened, right? And it's like, man, there's just no reason for me to jump back on. I got nothing out of this.
Another comic I didn't really love was Ant, number 1.
Yeah.
It's sort of a very typical superhero origin story, and I don't know, like, I didn't really love the art. I didn't find very much about it compelling. Apparently this is, like, a pre-existing character, that this is, like, a reboot or something.
Yeah, the page at the end on 23 of, like, the history of this character and the owners and the selling of it was, like,
did
more interesting than the
character. Did not read it, because I wasn't interested in the rest of the book.
I enjoyed that more than the book itself, and it's like, oh, that's a problem.
Oh, maybe I should check that out.
And there's probably something here, and it's got, I might give this a second issue and just call this, like, first issue blues. This is definitely not a strong issue, but I think, like, some of the ideas here are maybe good, or, like, some of, like, there's clearly setting up for stuff, and maybe, you know, I feel like I gave, Noctura, like, 6 issues. I can probably give this one 2.
See, Sweet Paprika is my Noctura.
I did drop that one.
Well, I haven't dropped Sweat.
I saw the light.
Yet, so we'll figure that out.
Yeah. At least with Sweet Paprika, you might get some, like, porn. Noctura didn't have anything.
Also, Good Luck ended. I know I was the only one reading this. It was fine.
There you go. I don't remember what that was about.
Yeah, I don't think any of you ever read it. Like, I don't even think anyone checked out issue 1 except for me. So, because it, like, I think the first issue came out on a week where I wasn't on the show, and then I was the only one reading it. But it
That sounds about right.
It was fine. I don't know that I would, like, go back and reread this in any capacity or recommend it to anyone, but, like, it was, yeah, it was fine.
Sure.
Do you have any strong feelings about Time Before Time before we...
It's still good. I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, I don't either. And even, because that's the problem, is, like, John Luke is like, Emily, you should read the books before, right before the show. But then when I do that, I don't fucking remember what happened.
Actually, that was kind of a sour point. I like, is this a new arc? Because, like, it's a whole new set of characters.
I think so.
And a whole new time period. And, like, I'm scrolling through it and remembering things, and it's compelling, but it's kind of like, yeah, but I like the other guys more. What the fuck happened to them? Like, this is fine. I don't know what this comic is up to, because I don't think there's been a hiatus.
Not that I can recall.
So, I guess we'll see what happens to it. I'm definitely still on board, because I do think the writing and the artwork's really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I totally forgot there was, like, a jumping off point and now a new jumping on for whatever. Because, like, the old story wasn't over, right? Like, I'm not crazy.
I don't remember it being over, but again, I barely remembered what happened in this issue after reading it this morning, so...
Yeah.
I would have to go back and see. But Time After Time is a really... I find it to be a very interesting take on, like, a time travel story, and I, you know, even though I am not 100% sure what's going on, I'm still, like, extremely game to keep going.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's it.
That is super it. We are done. We accomplished many things tonight.
We sure did.
No one could tell that I drank.
No one at all.
Fuck you, cops.
If you would like to follow this podcast on the internet, you can find us on Twitter at The Comics Podcast, or you can find us on Facebook at The Comics Podcast, or Instagram at, you guessed it, The Comics Podcast. And if you would like to find our illustrious host, John Luke, you can find him on Twitter at Mountain Dew Liker, or on Letterboxd at JL Botbill. Chad, where can you be found?
I can be found in wonderful places on the internet as I try to find the right tab that has all of them listed. Oh, here we go. I can be found on Twitter at Anonymband. That Anonym is my band. Because that's how that works, right? Like, fucking A. Next week, November 5th, I'm releasing new music on anonym.bandcamp.com. I have an EP coming out. It's called When Did the Butterflies Become Robots? It is a industrial kind of video game OST-inspired, like, death metal set of songs. It's I'm hoping people will like it. I like it. I'm pretty happy with how it's turned out. So stay on the lookout for that. If you want to read stuff, because I do writing, you wouldn't think that based on how shitty I am at talking, but I can do the typey types. You can find me on Amazon. If you Google Chad, or if you search Chad Waller, you can find The Ninth Life, Dreamscape, and Toylander, the three books I have on Amazon. Or you can go to anonym.wordpress.com and find my short stories.
And if you would like to find our other co-host who is not here, Alex, online, you can find him on Twitter at Alex Hansiek. You can find his writing on cgmagonline.com. And he runs the Roller Coaster Tycoon Twitter accounts still, I guess. He never talks about it anymore.
I haven't trolled those in a while.
Alex, you should talk more about Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Shit, there's like 8 of them. I don't know which one he does.
Yeah, you know, the listeners can figure it out. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can do that at mpandanata. I have the podcasts Imagine Me in Utena at UtenaCast and the Fresh Podcast Market at Fresh Pod Market. And I produce the podcasts Big Steppy, Backseat Drawing, and Loser Like Me. And temporarily, I will be producing Not If I Reboot You First, but that's just while the regular editor has another project to work on. So that's the show. That's it. We did it all, Chad. Are you proud of us?
We did it. I am super proud of us. Okay, I just tweeted at Roller Coaster Tycoon Official how I make coaster in shape of penis.
No!
So hopefully Alex runs that one or I'm going to look really stupid.
Good night, everybody.
Wait. We're doing a music episode next week.
Yeah, we sure are.
We sure are. And okay, so what we're listening to. So if anybody that likes the show wants to do some homework, Alex is recommending Mother Falcon is the artist, the album You Knew. I am telling everyone to listen to the new Lorna Shore EP, which is And I Return to Nothingness. Ibley wants us to listen to the Hadestown soundtrack because she doesn't respect our time.
Nope.
And Jean-Luc wants us to listen to Act 2 by the Deer Hunter because he also doesn't respect our time.
In all fairness, I did ask you guys if it was okay and you did say yes. So I think that's on you.
I don't remember that.
You were there.
I don't trust you.
That's very hurtful, Chad.
Not even true.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, night, everybody.